This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
Is the Bears' success this season a Mitchell Trubisky story or a Matt Nagy story?
Oh, I think by a mile it's a Matt Nagy story. I think that it's not even close, honestly. I think that the new head coach coming in and changing everything up and bringing an offense with him and being the play caller and obviously not having a big enough ego to try to get rid of guys that are here. In other words, accepting and almost eagerly accepting Vic Fangio so you could preserve that side of the ball and not having the need to be full head coach but more co-head coach. It's totally Matt Nagy. He's done a remarkable job, and we're seeing the development of Mitchell Trubisky. There's another, maybe the reason that Matt Nagy was hired was to implement that system and to give Trubisky a chance to develop as a quarterback, and certainly we're seeing some development of the quarterback, but the success of this is a Matt Nagy story, and he's done an unbelievable job. And I think it was it early in the season reading a story about him where he talked about breaking down college tape around the draft, and he's got two pads with him, and on one he's writing down the player and breaking down the player, and on the other one he's, is there a play I want to steal? Is there something going on in the college game? There are these young, dynamic head coaches in the NFL, and it would appear the Bears got themselves one.
You could actually add, you know, the question, is it a Mitch Trubisky story, Matt Nagy story, or Ryan Pace story? I mean, really, in terms of...
I knew that was coming.
Well, look, I mean, in fairness, the head coach doesn't get here without the GM picking the right guy. And I recognize that, you know, Ryan Pace has a lot in his mistake category. He's made a few, and he was 14-34, too. But given the choices here, I think that Matt Nagy is the guy who you know, is responsible for the success of this season more than anybody else if you're choosing between him and the quarterback. He's being himself.
Let's expand it then. So I like that idea. So you think it's more a Pace story?
Well, you know, again, and I'm not just saying this because, you know, what I wrote last week or what the conversation has been, but it is
a rags to riches story.
It is a rags to riches story, Molly. So let's play this out. We're asking this question because the Bears are beginning to get a lot more attention. If they continue to win, they'll get
right.
Even more.
National
and when you put this season into context, it began to form on January 1st. Now, when John Fox walked out of that door, everybody looked at each other at House Hall and said, what are we going to do next? Okay, should we fire the GM too? No. Okay, they bring him back. And what did Ryan Pace do? Well, he could have probably continued to make one bad decision after another, which led him to 14-34. Or he could have figured out, well, I'm going to do things almost like the Costanza. I'm going to do things the opposite of the way that I've done them in the first 3 years on the job. I'm going to be a little bolder. I'm going to go hire this. Whatever he saw in Matt Nagy was the right thing to see. He recognized something about him, and he picked him. And it wasn't a slam dunk at the time. I mean, Josh McDaniels was involved. There were other coaches that he could have hired. But it started there. When Ryan Pace hired Matt Nagy, everything else came after that. So the development of Trubisky, hiring Mark Helfrich, the staff, whatever it was, getting the players, all those things were consistent with the first decision and the biggest one, which was the GM staying and hiring the right head coach.
And going out and signing the players, the clarity of what player you needed came from the head coach,
yes,
right?
Because of the scheme, because yes. of the the ability to identify traits in players.
We need one of these and one of those.
That you can see, I can win with this because he fits here, is a very specific, clear mindset. And I think that was missing the first 3 years. Ryan Pace was on the job, but it's not missing anymore.
Bears were 26 games under 500 in the 5 years after firing Lovie Smith heading into this one. So the fact that they have a winning record and they look poised at this stage of the game to be perhaps the winner in the NFC North tells you that it's a Matt Nagy story. But they're related, because if Mitchell Trubisky wasn't playing well, the Bears wouldn't have the record that they have. And Matt Nagy was hired first and foremost to make Mitchell Trubisky a successful quarterback. So they are related, but it starts with Nagy.
It's great to have you here, Zach, by the way.
It is great, Zach.
It is.
We love you dearly.
I love you guys.
I'm going to encourage Mitch that anytime Joe Ostrowski isn't here, that you fill in for him.
What about if it's during baseball season?
Especially after night games.
Especially.
Oh, then I think we should drop an ISDN, or Zach could just phone in the updates.
What about one of those? What about like a Bobby Brown style headset that Zach has to wear and constantly do
radio? Bobby Brown.
That's his prerogative.
My kid had one of these things on, and I was like, "What are you, Bobby Brown?" Because that, and everybody looked at me so confused that we had to call up a.
You know who I
miss
more than anybody? Joe Ostrowski.
Telling me. In regards to this question, it's sort of a chicken and egg thing for me, because I don't know if Mitchell Trubisky with another head coach in another offense would put up or would have put up the numbers that he's already put up this season. And I don't know if Matt Nagy would be as successful if Chase Daniel was the starting quarterback this year and not Mitch Trubisky. So you can't talk about one without the other. I think here in town, we're more focused on, you know, the inner workings, if you will, of the team. And I think we're all going to say Matt Nagy. But I think outside of that, you know, the quarterback is always the sexy guy. He's always, you know, the superstar on the team, the face of the franchise. And I think on a more national level, Mitchell Trubisky is the story, because they're always looking for that next up-and-comer that they can, you know, market and
but
start
no
making money.
But no one likes him on a national level. On the national,
no, they do
level
now, because he had the good game, okay, against Detroit. So
right,
now the tide has turned.
I don't think
the worm
accurate
has turned, my friend.
That's,
and now
true,
it's,
that's true.
It's Mitch time.
No, I've got some Colin Cowherd, if you want to listen to a national,
thank God,
guy that doesn't like, doesn't think
another
much
guy
of Mitch.
He doubles down.
David, you're right. This is not just about these two guys. It's a chicken and egg, this whole thing. I mean, it's Ryan Pace. You know what's even, you could even go above Ryan Pace. It's actually, this is like the first really good football decision that
Virginia,
the McCaskies have made in a long time. Because if they would have gotten rid of Ryan Pace when some of us thought that they could have or should have,
mm-hmm,
like, the Bears would still be 5 years away, at least, right? They'd be five years. I mean, who would have been Ryan Pace instead of Ryan Pace, right? And that guy would have still been getting his act together, trying to find the head coach, let alone the franchise quarterback, let alone trading for Mac. It's all about timing and salary cap and everything. So I really think this is like a superfecta. Okay, it's a superfecta led by the McCaskies number one, Ryan Pace number two, Nagy number three, and Trubisky closing out a fantastic.
So it's a superfecta.
Superfecta. It's a superfecta. You guys wanted to do an exacta box.
Yeah,
I want to go a superfecta box.
I like that. And it's $24 for a dollar superfecta. So, and you get half it. That's pretty good. $24 for all that. But there's a couple things. One, we're living in the now. We're talking about their success, which is limited at this point. I wonder how it'll be long term. And Kevin, I really loved your idea. What would the record be if it wasn't Mitch under center? If the trigger man was somebody else? Is this system so good that anybody that could figure out a system would be successful in it? Or can you go from Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes and not
what's
have any?
What's the appropriate amount of credit to give Mitch? We can talk about that later. That's a good question. Yeah,
I think it's hard to answer those questions.
You're Matt Nagy, gathering your team for the first time today to prepare for the Vikings. What is the gist of your message?
Okay, you stand up there, and you know, first of all, you can't help but you can't suppress the smile, because you're smiling because you're 6-3. You're hosting the Vikings. You're in first place, and you have an opportunity to do something that hasn't been done around here in a long time. Too long. Embrace the moment. There's no pressure on you. Savor it. Soak it in. Have fun. Enjoy it, but don't be satisfied. You can't be satisfied. You haven't accomplished anything yet. You remind them tactfully that this is a team that is still on the rise, and you haven't arrived. And no matter what you hear around town, no matter how loud the noise is of telling you how good you are and how fun this is, you haven't accomplished anything yet. You've got 6 victories. You're at midseason. The Vikings don't care. They're coming in here ready to, you know, knock you off the pedestal you think that you're on. Have fun, but remember what got you here.
I think, David, you pointed it out yesterday, this idea that that Matt Nagy hasn't gone to the nobody believes in us outside this locker room. You know, let's circle the horses, to quote a famous player who mistakenly put the rare and very risky move of putting the animals at risk where you can't get out. Never mind the wagons. Let's put the horses out there. Let's circle the horses. It was Alonzo Spellman, a famous quote from a Bears player. But he's not circling the wagons. He's not saying it's only the guys in the locker room. It's all us, and no one else believes in us, and now we have to just believe in each other. He's creating this team concept in a much more positive way without relying on cliche, without falling back on the tried and true coaching. Anybody could walk up there and just tell them, hey, you know, no one believes in us, but the guys in this room, we have to beat these guys to show how good we – he doesn't go with that. He talks about where they're going and what they're heading, and it's a very positive message. It's not a negative message of chip on your shoulder and prove something. And you pointed that out yesterday. I thought about it a lot as I was walking around in my rounds yesterday. I think that is a really different mentality that you find with some of these young kind of offensive mastermind guys that are doing so well around the NFL that other guys you thought were once masterminds are being run out of the business because things have changed
well,
so much.
Well, it's sustainable because you can always count on it. You don't have to rely on somebody else to provide the motivation that you're providing by being positive.
So I think he's going that route. If I'm Matt Nagy, I would be you. I would continue to be myself, and my message would be the same message that it has been about improving in every game and you know, about us more than them and about another showcase and all that stuff, and it wouldn't be circle the valuable animals.
I'm going to tell you something I've kept to myself for years. None of you ever knew George Gipp, long before your time. But you know what a tradition he is at Notre Dame.
I'm sure nobody ever heard of him.
And the last thing he said to me, Rock, he said, sometime when the team is up against it, and the breaks are beating the boys, tell them to go out there with all they got and win, just one, for the Gipper. I don't know where I'll be then, Rock, he said, but I'll know about it, and I'll be happy. Here's the cool thing about Matt Nagy and the Bears. Nothing needs to be said. He's got the answers. This is, you know, defensively, they understand what's at stake here. The defense has been consistently solid throughout and great when Khalil Mack is in the lineup. And offensively, every single game that we've watched from the Bears this season, with the exception of perhaps that second half against Green Bay, the answers have been there. And if the players execute because of Nagy's offense, they're winning because there's too much talent on this offense to not have success if they're executing correctly.
Yeah, I don't think it's the time for circle the wagons or circle the horses or any kind of circling this at this point in the season. I think that the Bears are a confident bunch. I think Matt Nagy is a very confident and positive guy. His message all season long has been very positive, almost, you know, a Tony Robbins-esque at times in just his just syrupy, just absolute over-the-top positivity, which I just cannot stand. But the fact of the matter is that the team is 6-3. They've scored more points than anybody else in this division. They've allowed fewer points than anybody else in this division. They are in first place. They play great at home. And they, I'm sure every single one of those players, every single member of that coaching staff believes that they will win on Sunday night. So the message has to stay the same, whatever he's been saying for the previous 9 weeks into this season here. Don't change it now. It's just another game on the schedule. And they're so confident right now. They're playing so well that I think you just have to stay on topic and do what you've been doing.
In all seriousness, does that happen anymore in today's NFL? Like today, when they all get back up there at Hallis Hall, do they all come together in one spot? Or is it like an immediate, like, offense over here, defense over here, then we're going to break down by our positions? I mean, does he actually even get the team together before they hit the practice field? I know after the practice he might have some words for him, but I wonder if there's even that moment when they all get together in one spot before they even start looking at tape, before they start looking at the game plan, before they do their positional breakdowns, before they take the field. I wonder if that even goes on anymore. I mean, in today's NFL, I just think, and this team is so, you guys have pointed it out well, this team is so offense and defense. There's a head coach on offense. There's a head coach on defense. I don't know if they get together. You know, my message to the offense would be, hey, offensive line, if you can keep Trubisky upright this week, we got a real chance. This game is on you. They've got a tremendous pass rush, the Vikings. You keep Mitch upright, we can win this game. And how good did it taste after winning a divisional game? Now we need to win another game. But I don't even know if that stuff goes on anymore in today's NFL.
You just listened to the question I just answered.
If you could have Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers, or Matt Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky, who would you pick and for how long?
Yeah, it's an interesting question just because of the timing. I mean, if you had Matt Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky for 10 years, you would imagine that Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be as effective a player for 10 years. I don't know that Mitch is going to be around for 10 years. I think Matt Nagy might be around for 10 years. This goes back to this idea of guys like McVay and to an extent your man in San Francisco putting together an offense, and
Shanahan,
and certainly this guy. That there's like this new wave of NFL coaching. You know, for that reason, I think the Oklahoma coach, Lincoln Riley, would fit in the NFL just because apparently the Cowboys are hot and heavy on him, because the offensive innovation, the rule changes are such that that the offenses have changed. Here's the deal. If you took Aaron Rodgers and put him on this Bears team with Mike McCarthy as the head coach instead of Matt Nagy, how bloody good would they be with that defense? If you had that completed defense and threw Aaron Rodgers in with all the pieces that are around him, I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
It's not even this is a fun exercise, and I get it, but Aaron Rodgers is so superior to anything that the Bears have right now. You'd have Khalil Mack and Aaron Rodgers. So Aaron Rodgers is like the Khalil Mack of offense, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and that is the most important position in the league, and the trigger man, and he touches the ball in every play, the most important position in sports. Yes, I would say Aaron Rodgers. You know, you could probably win 3 Super Bowls with him right now.
You know,
I mean, how many are you going to win with Mitch over 10 years if he lasted that long?
Who needs 10 years? 5 or 6 would be fine.
I'd take Rodgers, even if it meant McCarthy.
Yeah. And they also, something they also have that the Bears and Nagy and Trubisky don't have, Super Bowl ring. They have won a Super Bowl. I don't know. Anything we said previously about the Bears all still applies and is valid and stands. And Mitch Trubisky and Matt Nagy and all those nice things. But you're talking about,
don't get out over your skis.
Yeah, let's be realistic here. Any sentence that asks you to choose between Aaron Rodgers and anything the Bears have,
yeah,
you're going with Aaron Rodgers, even if it means having to take Mike McCarthy, who's not having a great year.
No, but
you'll take him because you get number 12. I'll take number 12.
He is a Super Bowl
winning head coach. He has won a Super Bowl. And, you know, that means something still. So there's definitely, I don't care about the time frame. I take it for 1 year, because in that 1 year with this team, you're going to win a Super Bowl.
There you go.
Before the Bears beat Detroit, people would have taken Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes over Mitchell Trubisky.
Hey,
so
people still might.
Yes.
And, you know, Deshaun Watson has got like a 132 QB rating in his last 3 games.
Correct.
He's getting healthy.
And he's coming off an ACL. Usually you don't see the benefits of that until the season after you return from the ACL. And Mahomes' numbers speak for themselves. You're taking Aaron Rodgers. He's the most talented quarterback the NFL has ever seen. Not just today, ever in the history of the game, no one has had more talent, pure talent, than Aaron Rodgers, who is 98-52-1 with a 103.5 career rating, and he's played the entire 2018 season on one leg. Mitchell Trubisky is 10-11 with a passer rating below 90. You're taking Aaron Rodgers just about over any quarterback that arguably has ever played the game of football. And if you put the kind of defense that the Bears have, the kind of offensive weaponry that Mitchell Trubisky has around him, and you put Aaron Rodgers into that mix, it's scary to think of how good the Bears would be.
Yeah, I don't really think much of Mike McCarthy. I think he's kind of been riding the coattails of Aaron Rodgers for his entire career. Really lucky man, although his luck might run out after this season. I would take Aaron Rodgers and pretty much any head coach. And I'm not even talking like professional NFL coaches right now, college coaches right now. I'm talking about anybody that's ever coached football or played Madden or done played fantasy football or anything like that. If you have Aaron Rodgers, he's going to be able to cover up so many deficiencies that you have. I might even take Dustin along with Aaron Rodgers, and Dustin is my head play caller if you get number 12. So this is very, very fun. To think that Mitch Trubisky is even anywhere in the stratosphere of Aaron Rodgers, and I know that's not exactly the question, but really, it's what it comes down to for me. You would take Aaron Rodgers and anybody over Mitch Trubisky, Matt Nagy, and whatever else head coach is in vogue right now.
Yeah, so if we go back to my superfecta answer to one of the questions earlier, I think you'd have to put Aaron Rodgers up at the top of that, and you know he would be like a
secretariat.
Wheel. Like he's up on top. He's always one, and then you'd kind of box the other three underneath him, right? You know, it's Aaron Rodgers with the field. I mean, listen, Aaron Rodgers is fantastic, but are we talking like the rest of this year? Are we talking the next 5 years? Are we talking the next 3 years? You know, Zach brings up the guy playing on one leg. You know, his leg is an issue, okay? You know what else is an issue? And I get why he's got it this year. His attitude kind of sucks, okay? He always pointing out everybody else's mistakes and talking.
He's
the
quarterback, team leader.
Yeah, that's not really.
Somebody's got to hold people accountable.
That's not, you know, do that when I can't get caught on TV, okay? Where there's no TV cameras.
5 million cameras in the stadium. He's always going to get caught.
Do it where there's no cameras, like the locker room, like the practice facility, like the practice surface, okay?
So during a game, you don't say anything to any of your teammates because you don't want to get caught on candid camera. You know, Bob Saget to call
you out. No, it's how you act. It's called tact, Kevin, something you know nothing about.
Ah.
No, it's a good question.
Will the White Sox be able to trade Avisail Garcia, and why do they want to move him?
Well, first, Coach Chris Collins and the Northwestern Wildcats return to the new Welsh Ryan Arena on Friday as they host Binghamton. Get there early as ESPN's Pardon the Interruption will be taping live from 3:15 to 4:15. For more information, visit NUSports.com/PTI. Yeah, I think they have to move on from Avi. I think it's time. At one point, a year ago, we were having this conversation, and I would probably have said and asked the question, well, you know, should Avi be part of the rebuild? He's a youngish outfielder. He's got some skills. He's coming off a strong year. You could identify him as maybe a building block. And then last year happened, and I think he took maybe another half step backward, either injuries. But you can't ignore the fact that there were injuries. This is a guy that's probably prone to having one every year and a half or so. That's going to limit his potential. He's in somebody's way. And if it's not Eloy Jimenez, it's going to be Lewis Robert. It's going to be somebody else. He's in somebody's way, and he's always going to be in somebody's way if things go the way the Sox want them to go over the next several years. So if you can trade him, trade him. If you can't trade him, dump him. I think that you're probably, you know, ideally want to get something in return for him, but I don't think that he's in the plans because I think he's always going to be considered a placeholder.
I want to go to the second part of the question first. Why do they want to move him? Well, obviously he's in Bryce Harper's way. So if you bring in Harper, that's where he's going to play.
The Sox have shocked the sports world.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Play the whole damn thing.
Breaking White Sox news. The Sox have shocked the sports world.
Oh, yeah.
Signing free agent superstar Bryce Harper.
It's going to happen.
For more on this huge move by the Sox, keep it on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
okay, it's just a fantasy. It hasn't happened yet. But the very fact that we're prepared for it, not that that matters, we're prepared for anything. But I'm very pleased at that prospect, and it comforts me. I think Avi is a professional baseball player. I don't know that you're going to do a hell of a lot better than him, quite frankly. He's been hurt, and he's got some – I mean, I get it. You don't want to pay him, okay? You don't want to pay anyone because you're saving all your money for God knows what. But this comes down to a money decision. If you go into – if you are not replacing him and this is – you know, Eloy is coming and that's where he's going to play, that's fine. But then are you going to – like, who's going to be your outfield? You're bringing back the same group of the worst outfielders ever collected by man. I don't know that I want to see that again. So if you're going out and getting someone to actually replace him, that's all right. But otherwise, he is a professional baseball player. I don't think they can get anything for him. And the idea of just outright releasing him, it's one of the few guys that can play on that team. Why not hang on to him and see if you can move him later on? I'm a little frustrated by what's going on with the White Sox. And I'm hoping that they make some moves here that make me feel better about it. I read the FanGraphs thing yesterday, which if you're a Sox fan, it's a lot of fun. The guy breaks down their team, breaks down all of the prospects, and I believe comes up with a price tag of $369 million that would be the value of the players if you traded them all right now. You know, $60, $70 million for Eloy and all the value of each player added up, it's $369 million. That might get you Bryce Harper. So it's great that you have that many good – I think they had 12 in the top 130 players or top 100 players, whatever it was. That's great. But they're all – none of them are here. So put together a team and then let guys add to it. Don't think that they're going to come en masse someday and all be good. I just worry about what the Sox are doing.
On behalf of all of us, I'd like to apologize to the few people who turned on the car and the first thing they heard was the breaking news sounder with the White Sox signing Bryce Harper, thinking that for 2 seconds your life was made. I apologize.
The Sox have shocked the sports world.
And I would like to say you're welcome to those same people because it's nice to have a fantasy. I told you, it's like...
Yeah, forget your espresso this morning, you had that.
Yeah, it's like winning the lotto. It's like you just feel like it happened, even if it didn't.
Right, but it's demoralizing 3 seconds later when you find out that it has not happened.
But you had that moment. We delivered that to you here at the school.
Well, if that makes you happy. By the way, Mully, what are we in, year one and a half, year two now of the White Sox
He's
rebuild?
Frustrated.
And already, you don't
you know
think it's
it going
to go like the Cubs and Astros?
Well, it's not just that. It's everybody got hurt. It's, you know, if Kopech hadn't gone down, that was like the bridge too far for me. When Kopech came up and you're like, oh, we got a good, what happened? And as my son said, why does God hate the White Sox? That's how it felt like.
My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ makes no mistakes.
Boy.
I mean, we could really take a lot of time to answer that last question that you asked, but we're not going to do it. I just think, realistically, when you look at the White Sox, what you have to say to yourself with Garcia in particular is, and you mentioned the word injuries. That's why you can't bring him back long term. Talented player, but if you're not healthy, you can't contribute the way they'd like for the money that he wants to get paid, which is why he's not going to be on the White Sox next season.
I like Avi, but it's hard to imagine he'll have another season like he did in 2017, where he nearly won the batting title and he had an on-base percentage of like 380. It doesn't seem like he's going to get back to that, and I know he was very beaten up this past year, but he didn't even look anywhere near the same player at the plate. So I understand wanting to move on from him, but Mully, you brought up the point of how bad the White Sox outfield was last season. I mean, Nicky Delmonico, if I never have to see him take another at-bat, I'd be fine with that. Adam Engel, you know, can play a decent center field, but he can't hit the broadside of a barn either. This, to me, seems like they might be considering moving one of their infielders to the outfield to take up a spot. I know Tim Anderson has been mentioned in that conversation before, but he was excellent defensively in the second half of the season. You really don't know what you have with Moncada yet, offensively or defensively, which is not ideal. But I don't understand the idea of non-tendering Garcia if you can't move him. That just makes no sense to me. He can still play a little bit, and he can still maybe build up some of that value back progressively if he can't stay healthy and play a little bit better in the season. So I understand wanting to move on from him, but I don't get non-tendering him if you don't get the right deal. To me, that makes no sense.
Well, forget about the tendering and the non-tendering, and I never get my meat tenderized. I don't think Avi is ever going to bounce back here, but I think he's going to bounce back. This is a guy that just, unfortunately, needs a change of scenery. Or he needs a certain person to whisper in his ear. I mean, you know, Ozzy, right? Ozzy had him down in the winter fall league, and what, mm-hmm. he was batting six. Was that what Ozzy told us, right? And Ozzy gave him a hard time, and that seemed to maybe pep him up for a little bit. But I think he still has skills. I just think he just needs a change of pace, and hopefully the White Sox will get something for him.
That's a great question.
Do you agree with Jeremy Colleton that the Blackhawks are getting better despite results?
Boy, who am I to disagree with Jeremy Colleton? I saw that Patrick Kane said something along the same lines, that some of the small things that that he's installing will eventually pay off. You know, you got to believe that. You got to have the hope that some of this will help them get out of the hole. They're in 0-8 now, 3 under his watch. So, it doesn't look like they're very good. It looks like, you know what it looks like, David? It looks like their confidence is shot. When you see a team go up 2-0 and then fall apart, that's usually, oh, it's losing time? Okay, we'll lose. That wasn't the case with the Blackhawks. It's amazing to watch that confidence dip and drop a little bit and not be restored. And I understand why that is the case, but I don't know. I don't see this team going on an 8-game run.
They're not getting better. They don't look any better. This looks like the same team. Why would they not have any confidence? They haven't won. You know, why would they have any confidence? They haven't won since October 29th or so.
They don't even look like they're getting different.
They're not that different. Look, there are subtle things in the approach, you know, with Jeremy Colleton behind the glass. You know, they're playing man-to-man defense more than zone. They're, you know, letting the defensemen bring the puck up a little bit more. They're including the D-men as part of their offense a little bit more. They're little stylistic things that you'll see, but they are not better because they haven't won yet. And we were told that this is all about results. It's going to be about results, so it can't be despite results. It's a bottom-line industry. And why is it a bottom-line industry? Because they told us so when they fired the 3-time Stanley Cup-winning Hall of Fame-bound coach Joel Quenneville. So I like Jeremy Colleton. I like all that he has to offer an organization. I think he could be a fine coach one day. But after 3 games, I cannot sit here and lie to you and tell you that the Blackhawks are better off, because I just don't see it. And you're going to see little things when you have a coaching change. You look for little signs. Nick Schmaltz made a business decision the other night, and it wasn't the one to go all out in a 2-2 game to sacrifice your body for the good of the organization, okay? He made the same decision he made when Joel Quenneville was here. The urgency that you expected to see, still waiting.
The question is, are the Blackhawks getting better despite results? I have no idea.
Is that it?
Way to step out.
And none of you guys do either. We don't know. This isn't like football or baseball,
Zach,
or basketball.
Trying to do a radio show here.
You know the little nuances.
Mr. Cub over there.
Speak for yourself, baseball boy.
We don't know the little nuances that they're trying to teach. Come on.
You can watch hockey and know what you're watching, Zach. I don't know. I know you've been in the booth for a long time watching Joe Madden make, you know, do what he does.
Cockamamie decisions.
Zach, have you ever done, hockey play-by-play?
No, I've never done hockey play-by-play. And I have great respect for those who do, because
thank
it is
God.
Extremely difficult.
Thank God. That's awful.
I'm going to say yes.
Kevin's with you. That's great.
I'm actually going to agree with Zach. I don't know, but I'm also going to agree with Mully. The positive is, you know, Kaner didn't have to say what he said yesterday.
Yeah.
Unless Kaner has just grown up so much over the last... He didn't need to say
Guys,
that.
Guys, he has. He has grown up. He says the right thing at every turn.
Well, then
this
I don't believe
exactly...
it. Then I'm calling BS on it.
I'm
right?
calling BS
okay.
on it, too.
Okay, then I'm calling BS on it. And David, I'm saying this because I respect your opinion on the Blackhawks a whole bunch. So based on, I wanted to go with glass half full and say, if it's good with Kaner, it's good enough for me. But if you're calling BS on it, then I'm calling
Guys,
BS on it.
Patrick Kane was not on the ice to begin the overtime. You know who was on the ice in the second shift? Brent Seabrook. Why is he on the ice during overtime in a 3-on-3 wide open?
Wasn't that one of the rumors about why the move to fire Coach Q happened when it happened? Because the wrong guys were on the ice and there was a bad line change on one of those West Coast Canada trips, right? Wasn't that
there was a bad moment because there was a guy who didn't go into the box. Yeah, there were some...
It was a bad moment.
But it was more than that. But I think that, yeah, there were some things that...
It was on the checklist. It checked one of the boxes why they felt that, like, okay, we can make this move. Who the heck knows what's going on with the Blackhawks right now? Very disappointing.
All right, that is the 5 at 5. 312-644-6767 is the Bears' success this season, a Mitchell Trubisky story or a Matt Nagy story. David throws in a Ryan Pace story. Who you taking? Dustin says the McCaskey. So I don't know why this question got so complicated, but apparently it did. You're Matt Nagy. You're gathering your team for the first time today. You're getting ready for the Vikings. What is the gist of your message? What are you saying to them? What do you want them to hear from you? If you could have Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers or Matt Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky, how would you pick that and how long would you get those guys? And does that matter? And will the White Sox be able to trade Avi Garcia? And why do you think they want to move him so badly? Do you agree with Jeremy Colliton that the Blackhawks are getting better despite their results, or do you agree with Zach that you have no idea? 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.